Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Vila Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. No, she's not studying to become a veterinarian. The girl's in junior high. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
How drunk could the bus driver possibly be? For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part one of Florida Stories.
Hi, I'm retired NYPD Detective Vic Ferrari. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of an NYPD chief who walked into a station house and was mistaken for a Chinese delivery guy. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Is this the end of the world as we know it? I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk host, and this week I'm really upset. Details later on Sterling on Sunday.
This is J.J. Wilson. Well, coming up, Larry the Lunatic makes his first and hopefully last appearance on Drive Through Brew. Stay tuned, won't you?
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
All of these terrific features on our live radio show on Sterling on Sunday. The great thing about the features is I don't listen to them before we go on the air. I hear them at the same time you do. It's a great surprise to me to hear the incredible creativity of our team of idiots putting together these original radio productions. I don't hear any other show doing anything close to this on anything resembling a regular basis, except for really, really good morning shows. Really good, like Elvis Duran's morning show. Really good. But otherwise, I hear nothing. I just hear people screaming at the Democrats. And what is the point of that? 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT is my number. And tonight, when you call, you could win two gifts. One is Jared Dillian's new book called Those Bastards. And the other is a MyPillow 2.0. Who wouldn't want a MyPillow 2.0? But in order to win, you got to know these songs. These are three songs that make me want to smoke a cigarette. The weird thing is I never smoked cigarettes. Never did. When I hear these songs, I want to smoke a cigarette.
Art, ring in the air.
Filled with love.
There's magic everywhere.
Three songs that make me want a cigarette. Do you know what they are? You could win a brand new MyPillow 2.0. Who wouldn't want that? And Jared Dillian's new book called Those Bastards, a series of brilliant essays. I know I say essays and immediately you go to sleep. No, these are great essays. And Jared Dillian is the gentleman we talk about every week with his brilliant website, jaredradio.com, where you and I finally can get our money straight. The problem with the money isn't dealing with the money, although I just did my taxes this weekend. Well, I didn't do my taxes. What I had to do was break out my expenses. I will hand it to a grown-up accountant who will do my taxes. I recommend the same for you. But I labored over the bank statements. I did not labor over spreadsheets because finally I'm at a point in my life where I can admit even to you, I have no idea how to work a spreadsheet. And I suspect most people do not know how to work a spreadsheet. They may know one thing like the plus formula, the divided by, or even better, the percentage formula, which is often comes in handy. But basically, we don't know all of those functions on a spreadsheet. And nor do the accountants or the MBAs. They don't know it either. They just kind of look very official and they put it out there. And then worse, they use a PC. Anybody who uses a PC is just put on earth to annoy me. Macs were invented in 1984. That's the correct answer. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is a network radio show. We are coast to coast. And because of that, you and I are experts on one thing and only one thing, which is which are the worst interstates in America? The most deadly, annoying, which are the worst interstates in America? Who knew that this has been studied and broken out? And we'll share about that coming up. And I want to know what you think the worst interstate is, the worst interstate. It's something we have in common along with our hatred for tolls. Nobody should have a toll. There should be no tolls. They should be illegal. The roads were built. They're already paid for. Plus, we will hear the hysterical kunk. This woman does this brilliant comedy I don't know where it is. It streams somewhere. C-U-N-K. Brilliant comic. The history of the world, the history of England, the history of mysterious things. Wait till you hear how funny she is and how clever she is with it. Plus, there's big Taylor Swift news, huge Taylor Swift news. I mean, meta Taylor Swift news, and you and I will share that coming up in just seconds. One of the things that annoys me about Swifties, people who are major Taylor Swift fans, is that they will go after anybody who says anything bad about Taylor. Anybody who says bad about Taylor, they'll send them 1,000 tweets, emails, Facebooks. They'll go after them, those Swifties. I have never heard them doing good. I like Taylor Swift. I respect her. I think she's brilliant. She's a brilliant marketer. She understands social media better than anybody, better than that clown who runs Facebook. She understands exactly how to market herself. Absolutely brilliant. I think she's great. Okay, Swifties, what are you going to do for me? I've just said on national radio that I think Taylor Swift is brilliant. Okay, I haven't attacked her. I haven't said anything bad. When are you going to do something good for people who support Taylor, like me? When are you going to call the radio station and say, thank God Walter Sterling is on? Thank God he's there, because we need AM guys. We need people on our big FM station in Kansas City and Sacramento to say Taylor is fantastic. And that's what I've just said. Not the last two albums, but the ones before that. Fantastic. What are you going to do for me? Plus the amazing phenomena of plate readers. The police on most of their cars, traffic stops, traffic lights, now have cameras focused on your license plates. And they don't see you and then take a picture. These cameras are taking pictures continuously. They're always taking pictures of your license plates. Sometimes some people have had their license plate captured over 100 times. And depending on the police department, they keep them for a week, a month, or years for nothing. For nothing. Then these strange DNA tests, these DNA kits that you sign up for, you find out about your DNA, it comes back, you find out, oh my gosh, Uncle Charlie came from Ireland, who knew? Ah. All right, I believe that it's far more profound than that, because I watched The X-Files. And The X-Files took DNA from smallpox vaccines. Remember on The X-Files, they took DNA from smallpox vaccines. And that's how they were able to establish DNA codes for Americans. And now Americans are actually paying 20, 30, 50, 60 bucks for somebody to get our DNA. Where does it go? How is it used? How many times now have I heard that, well, you know, thanks because he had done a DNA test, a DNA analysis, a DNA history, where the police were able to capture him. Whoa, what? What? Is that how it's being used? All right, now I'm scared. But what I learned on my DNA will spend the rest of my life confusing me. What I learned on my DNA test is so bizarre and so weird, I cannot wait to not share it with you. Plus, nuns. The sex lives of nuns. I'm Walter Sterling. Good evening. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Zahi Hawass.
Don't talk to me. Please, go away from me.
is the oldest trick in the book. Having a fake ID. It's a secret that has gone time in memoriam. Usually it's just to buy booze or to go out and purchase cigarettes, right? Well, Flashdancer, it's an exotic dancing emporium in Orlando, O-Town. We got into trouble because 15-year-old girl was a dancer there. I hate to tell you this. To be hired onto almost any job this day, you have to, like, almost give fingerprints, show up with three different forms of ID. You have to go out and you have to show them that you're eligible to work in the United States. Many times they want to check out to make sure you're not some sort of a felon, which may not necessarily be an issue at a lot of our exotic dancing emporiums. So this isn't her first place. She originally worked at Cleo's. Another Orlando jiggle joint, quite the popular place. Managers, employees of Flash Dancer, they are in real trouble because they really didn't even check the ID. They just said, come on in. Now, for the underage girl's credit, and quite frankly sad, is that she said that she was dancing at the club to support herself and her mama. Family values. It's a heck of a deal. Apparently, they were investigating this club hiring underage girls for multiple years. I don't know why it took that long, but it did. Human trafficking is a problem at our exotic dancing employees. Flash Dancer, I'm sure, will be shut down and be taken over by someone from Staten Island named Guido. From the Champagne Room, this is Velo Hool for Strippers on the Loose, Sterling at Night.
I think it's fun, too. We should do it again sometime.
You mean another sting operation? Or I could teach you how to shoot?
Oh, I know how to shoot.
You don't know how to shoot.
I want you, Kate Littlejohn.
What'd she say?
I want you, Kate Littlejohn. I want you, Kate Littlejohn.
I want you, Kate Littlejohn. The best TV show from Shondaland, from Shonda Rhimes. It lasted 20 episodes. It was called For the People. You can watch it now on Hulu. It ended in 2018. I'm watching this thing on Hulu, For the People.
I want you, Kate Littlejohn.
And I'm thinking, this is great. And then I look at the extra information, other information about the show. I'm like, what? It was already canceled in 2018? 20 episodes. It was tight and bright. Had the most beautiful people you've ever seen in your life. It was about New York. Oddly, though, it got all the buildings wrong. Like when it showed a picture of the Justice Building in Lower Manhattan, actually it was the Metropolitan. No, what was it? It was on 23rd Street. The building they showed was on 23rd Street. Why can't I remember that? Oh, because you're losing your mind. Because you're losing your mind.
I want you, Kate Littlejohn.
Anyway, they have this fantastic lesbian relationship between one of the DAs and a DEA agent. Imagine that, a DEA agent and a district attorney. Imagine that. And they have a relationship. And the DEA agent is making her moves. She's the aggressor. She's making her moves on the phone. And the DA is saying, I don't know. I can't go out on a sting with you. Why don't you take Seth? I think it'd be all right if you took someone else. I don't know if I can do it.
I want you, Kate Littlejohn.
And she says, I want you, Kate Littlejohn. Makes it very clear, I want you, Kate Littlejohn. That set me up for at least 10 days. For 10 days, I was perfectly happy because of this one thing.
I want you, Kate Littlejohn.
Oh, my God. All right, coming up in just seconds, we're going to hear from Jared Dillian, who wrote a brand new book called Those Bastards, a series of essays. Now, Jared Dillian's a very unusual money guy. No, don't run away. He's not that kind of money guy. He won't bore you the crap out of you like most of them do. Well, you're in the markets and the debt ceiling. I have no idea what a debt ceiling is. All I know is what the limit is on my MasterCard, and it keeps getting lower. Even worse, my Syncrony card, my Amazon Syncrony card, the credit line keeps getting cut. You know you're a major loser if your Syncrony card, any Syncrony card, keeps getting lowered and cut. That can't be good. Now, I'm just sitting here. I buy stuff on it. I pay it off on time. Doesn't seem to matter. doesn't seem to matter what I do, keeps getting cut. Jared Dillian was like a normal guy from Connecticut. He entered the Coast Guard, got out of the Coast Guard and said, why am I broke? And started to do the work to get not broke. And now he's very successful, but not in some scary way. He's not an a-hole. He doesn't go around, you know, with a lot of theory attached to him. He's a really good, solid guy. And he explains what to do with the money to make the money grow. He doesn't have complicated formulas and he doesn't wrap it in Christ. And that's really sad. That's really sad. He just gives practical advice, a common sense guy. But the best part about him is when he's not being a common sense money guy, he's a DJ. He's a DJ in hot clubs in Miami and throughout America. Pretty cool guy. Anyway, he's come out with a series of essays called Those Bastards, and you and I are going to chat with him coming up in just seconds. Plus, when you call tonight at 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT, you will have the opportunity to win a MyPillow 2.0. Thank you, Michael Doucette. Thank you, Michael Doucette of Northern Ad Agency. Northern Ad Agency is the reason this radio show exists. Thank you. And it's not bought and paid for. It isn't like, well, you know, Walter, you have to do these things for it. No. It's just he loves the show. The owner of Northern Ad Agency just loves the show and does what he has to do to make it work. And I thank you for that. Most of these other ad agencies, they want to see cost per points and CPMs and all sorts of other things that do not tell any client whether or not anything sells. That's the weirdest thing about ad agencies, but I will go on my tyrannical rant about ad agencies coming up in just seconds. Why am I stuttering? I don't know. But if you know these three songs, you can win a MyPillow 2.0 and Jared Dillian's new book, Those Bastards. Sean Talks. Sean Talks is the podcast you want to get. The podcast you want to download wherever you eat quality podcast. Sean Talks is the producer, control board operator of Sterling on Sunday. The reason I say control board operator is I hear over and over on the radio, well, you know, and Frank's on the board. And our board operator, what the hell is that? The only board I know is a boardwalk. Therefore, I always say control board. And any of these guys, I'll see on LinkedIn, they'll put up, you know, I'm a board operator. Nobody knows what that is. Don't be stupid. Make it clear. It's a control board operator, a mixing board operator, which is complicated and tricky, especially today. One of the great things about digital technology is it's made everything far more complicated than it needs to be. Analog was just fine, thank you. Everything worked. We knew how it worked. We knew that if we made the gain louder, it was louder. Now on digital, if you make the gain louder, it distorts, disappears, and can frankly knock you off. Boy, there's some improvement, isn't it? Everything's better now. Aye, aye, aye. Please get his podcast. Get Sean's podcast called Sean Talks. And Sean talks from the street and eye level. And he's a great dad. And it's a very entertaining podcast. Sean Talks. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by the words of William Shatner.
Follower bound to a bridge by a fountain where rocking horse people eat marshmallow pies.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Vila Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. No, she's not studying to become a veterinarian. The girl's in junior high. Details later. Strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
How drunk could the bus driver possibly be? For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part one of Florida Stories.
Hi, I'm retired NYPD Detective Vic Ferrari. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of an NYPD chief who walked into a station house and was mistaken for a Chinese delivery guy. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Is this the end of the world as we know it? I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk host, and this week I'm really upset. Details later on Sterling on Sunday.
This is J.J. Wilson. Well, coming up, Larry the Lunatic makes his first, and hopefully last, appearance on Drive Through Brew. Stay tuned, won't you?
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Did you hear about the amazing Taylor Swift news? There's huge Taylor Swift news. You and I will discuss it coming up in 30 minutes. 30 minutes, huge Taylor Swift news. Plus, if you have a car with license plates, odds are the cops have taken not one or two photographs of that license plate. And it has nothing to do with whether or not you're guilty of anything. They just take pictures of license plates all day. Some people have had hundreds of photos of their license plates taken for no reason. We'll talk about that, you and me. Plus, right now, if you're on the highway, which you are, waiting for the love truck stop, waiting to pull over and take it easy, welcome. Because you are an expert on the worst highways in America, the most dangerous interstates, and you and I get to discuss that coming up. And it turns out they've actually done the studies. They know which are the worst interstates in America, and I'll share that with you. But I want to know which are the bad interstates for you. For me, it's always I-90, otherwise known as the Luge. Now, this is the challenging point in the year for your relationships, because it is at the holidays when you and I discover the truth about our significant other. Could be a wife, a husband, somebody you've been living with for a long time, the person you're having an affair with, but you learn something significant, which is holiday traditions. Do they match or do they clash? I was forced against my will to go to my mother-in-law's for dinner. Now, this is always a challenge because my mother-in-law, who is a fantastic grandmother, is not a good cook. And yet I'm always put in the position of always having to say, oh, yes, this is really good. Now, she only makes three things that I'm aware of. And two of them are okay, and one of them I absolutely can't eat. I can't even begin to tell you about it. But this has gone on for many years now. However, everybody has different holiday traditions. Here was my family's Easter tradition. You ready? When we were kids, Easter was right up there, 80% as big a deal as Christmas in terms of gift giving. We got major gifts for Christmas and then bigger gifts at Easter. We got big gifts at Easter. When my in-laws learned that we got big gifts at Easter, they were horrified. Just horrified. We would come down on Easter morning and we'd see big gifts, lots of Easter baskets. They were all there in front of the fireplace, just like Christmas. And the kids dove in. We played with our toys for hours because then my mother could sleep, my father could sleep. And we had all the stuff we wanted. And then around the house, they hid eggs. The Easter Bunny hid eggs all over the house. That was all there when we came down on Easter morning. That was our Easter tradition. And then later in the day, my mother, who was a spectacular cook, made a spectacular dinner. That's my Easter tradition. My in-laws were horrified at the thought there were actual gifts, big gifts, major toys on Easter. They were horrified by this. This isn't right. And then they have this weird thing where they hide the Easter basket. And then the Easter Bunny is supposed to have hidden the Easter basket, and the kids are supposed to look around the house to try to find it. And then separately, there's an Easter egg hunt. And then later on, there's dinner, but there are no gifts. Like, I don't get this. There were no gifts. It was a major conflict. Just like their houses that celebrate Christmas on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning. Well, those are very different houses. That's a whole different set of traditions. I find this to be the greatest challenge to any relationship. How you handle major holidays is the key to whether or not you're going to have a successful relationship. absolutely the key. Do you have Christmas Eve or Christmas morning? Do you give major gifts at Easter or not? Do you hide the baskets or just the eggs? All sorts of complicated traditions, but if you can't compromise and get along on these points, you're headed for a divorce. You're headed for the end of a relationship. It's over, and then. How about you? 888-688-WALT. 888-688-9258. As you come home from the Easter dinner, as you come home from the Easter celebration, forced against your will to go to your in-laws, how did it go? I'm right about this conflict. This is key to whether or not there's a successful marriage, a successful relationship, a successful shacking up, or a successful illicit relationship. 888-688-9258, 888-688-WALT. And when you call, you'll get a chance to guess these three songs which make me want to smoke.
Everywhere.
888-688-WALT. Easter night. How'd it go? Was there a conflict between the two families? The blended families. Well, blending families is not some wacky sort of social experiment. The blending of families is the blending of traditions. And if you're single, and I pray that you are, it's very uncomfortable to go to somebody's house, to a friend's house, and find out that their traditions are whole different than the ones you were raised with, because the ones you were raised with are the correct ones. And then to go to somebody's house and find out that they're very different, what do you do? How do you deal with that? It's uncomfortable. It's like if you were raised in a small family, one or two or three kids, and then you go to a family with seven kids and you're at dinner with them and they have the secret language, the secret handshakes and a history. You can't even begin to imagine. That level of discomfort happens when you and I go to somebody's house who has a whole different set of traditions. 888-688-9258. Know the songs that I smoke to, want to smoke to. I never smoked cigarettes, but for some reason those songs make me want to. And you will win a MyPillow 2.0, and Those Bastards from Jared Dillian, brand new book. It's a very exciting show. Sunday night, Easter night. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Will Ferrell.
I'm listening to what you're asking me, and if you're not listening to my answers, let's just call it a day.
We should do it again sometime. You mean another sting operation? Or I could teach you how to shoot? Oh, I know how to shoot.
You don't know how to shoot.
I want you, Kate Littlejohn.
888-688-WALT. The conflict caused by the holidays. Families that have different rituals. This leads to more breakups than anything else. Dan, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hello, Dan in Wisconsin. You're in Wisconsin.
Yes, sir, Walter. Good evening. You're welcome for my call.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk about the license plates. You said the law enforcement takes photos of plates for no reason, right?
We'll discuss that at length coming up. But yes, that's right, Dan. Many law enforcement agencies, many police departments take continuous photos. When those cruisers are going around, those cameras are on continuously, and they take photos of every single license plate that they pass by.
Well, hopefully it's for no reason, but the reality is something might come up later where that information is very vital. So I can assure you it's not for no reason all the time.
Their excuse is that it's the fastest way to spot a stolen car. But
well, that's
I think
part of the reason, but the fact that you use the word excuse, I mean, you can take as many photos as you want as you walk down the road. I mean, as long as it's not invading anybody's privacy, so.
Well, some of the photos, and this is the problem, some of the photos show family members in a driveway, in their own driveway. Cop goes by, takes a picture of the car in a private driveway with the kids standing around. What the hell is the deal with that, Dan?
Well, I'm not sure they're looking for those kinds of things, but that documentation can potentially come up and be extremely valuable later, especially if some scumbag was up to something. Now, you're right, they'll likely never reference that data and discard it, but just in case, it could be helpful. And there's no privacy being violated if they're just sitting in a driveway anyways.
Dan, are you a lawyer or a police officer?
I cannot disclose that, sir.
So you're in the FBI. Now listen, do you know these songs that make me want to smoke?
Ring in the air.
Filled with love.
There's magic everywhere.
What do you say, Dan, for a MyPillow 2.0 and Jared Dillian's new book called Those Bastards?
All right. The first one is Dilemma by Nelly. The second one is The Chicken Dance. And the third one's The Hokey Pokey.
Well, Dan, you were so close. Not at all. Thank you very much for listening to Sterling on Sunday. You're a good caller and you're a good friend. Thank you very much, Dan. A Midnight Misfit in Wisconsin. Keith Fonz. Keith Fonz is a DoorDash driver in Alaska, near Fairbanks, in North Pole, Alaska. Keith Fonz, DoorDash driver. What is your report from Alaska tonight?
Oh, man, we are all ready for winter to be over and for the midnight sun to come back. That's what a lot of people are talking about. Like, we get months and months of darkness. Literally like 23 and a half hours a day in dark. So we're ready for that 23 and a half hours of sunlight.
I feel that way about my marriage. Now, Keith, do you see the northern lights? Do you see them?
Oh, that's the best thing about the winters and the darkness is the northern lights. They love to dance around and we get good pictures and videos of them.
All right, so here's the deal. You need to send me a photo or multiple photos of the Northern Lights, and I will post them on my Instagram and post them on Facebook. That would be a very important. That will be your Sterling Snap, the Northern Lights. Will you do that for me?
Definitely. I have a bunch right now from recently I can send over to you.
WalterMSterling@gmail. WalterMSterling@gmail. And the deal is, Keith, that I want you and you and you, all Midnight Misfits, to take a look at whatever you're looking at right now and take a picture of it with that overpriced phone that you have. Take a picture of it. I'd love to see what you're looking at. Send it to WalterMSterling@gmail. I'll post it on Instagram, and I appreciate it. Keith, what is your report? What do you have to report to us from Alaska?
Pretty much, besides we're done with winter and the sun needs to come back out, you know. Let's see. Local news, recently we had, you know, it's kind of sad, but we had gun violence in our little town, population of 3,000 people. We had a young gentleman, you know, about 20 years old, ended up shooting his stepdad in our town, and his stepdad didn't make it, so that happened this week, and it's a small town. Everybody either knew one or both parties involved, and it's, you know, it's heartbreaking when people want to resort to gun violence to solve issues.
Do you own a gun, Keith? Do you need a gun for the moose?
I personally don't own one. I'm for the Second Amendment 100%, but I'm 40. Well, I'll be 43 on Wednesday, and when I was 18, I caught a stupid felony, so I'm not allowed to own one, but we do use crossbows and stuff to go hunting.
What do you hunt?
Up here, moose.
Have you ever killed a
caribou?
Moose? Have you killed a caribou?
Not yet. I haven't gotten one yet. I'm hoping this year will be the year.
If you kill a moose, that's a challenge because then you have to do something with it. What do you do with it?
Oh, we definitely eat it. And if it's big enough, I'd love to put its head on my wall. But speaking of moose, like, that's another thing that happened this week here. I think it was in Anchorage. We had a big old moose walk into Providence Hospital and decided to just take a tour of the hospital.
And how did that go? Did they kill the moose or did they try to get him out the back door?
No, they ended up somehow getting him out of the building, and he or she went about it. It was a big boy, so I'm assuming it was a he. He went about his business.
Does that mean you went to
them here? Like, they walk across the street, you wait for them, you know, they'll come up in your yards, and they're not small animals, but they're everywhere.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Like, if you kill a moose, you need like 10 of your buddies to deal with it, don't you?
Oh, yeah, it definitely takes a few people to gut it and get all the meat out of it. And then there's so much meat that pretty much it can feed a couple families. So usually everybody's got a buddy on speed dial that can come and help in a situation like that.
A moose chain call. It's all organized and ready. Today on our front lawn, there was a turkey. A female turkey walked across our front lawn. This was major news. I expect to see it in the newspaper. A turkey just walking by, and the best part was a cat chased it. Like, the cat was fearless with this. Now, Keith, you're a great friend. I appreciate you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday. Your reports are fantastic. Now, the past 2 weeks were a spiritual challenge because 2 weeks ago, I couldn't hear anybody on the phone. Last week, I could sort of hear you. So if I seemed to end the call abruptly, I didn't mean to be rude, but I really couldn't hear you. But this week, oh, my gosh, it's kismet. It's magic. It is technical magic, and I am grateful to you, Keith. Thank you very much for being an important part of Sterling on Sunday because we needed a reporter from Fairbanks, Alaska, from the North Pole. He's actually in the North Pole. I want to know about the conflicts you've had with your family and your in-laws about holiday traditions because this is the test of a relationship.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling.
Looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
How drunk could the bus driver possibly be? For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part one of Florida Stories.
Hi, I'm retired NYPD Detective Vic Ferrari. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of an NYPD chief who walked into a station house and was mistaken for a Chinese delivery guy. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Is this the end of the world as we know it? I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk host, and this week I'm really upset. Details later on Sterling on Sunday.
This is J.J. Wilson. Well, coming up, Larry the Lunatic makes his first and hopefully last appearance on Drive Through Brew. Stay tuned, won't you?
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
I want you, Kate Littlejohn.
I think it's fun, too.
We should do it again sometime.
You mean another sting operation?
Or I could teach you how to shoot?
Oh, I know how to shoot.
You don't know how to shoot.
You, Kate Littlejohn.
Rebecca Romijn played my mom. I was obsessed with her. And it was on ABC. Everyone was super excited about it. We just thought it would be a huge hit. Huge. I was in a movie. My agents called me 3 times. I was like, oh, no, this is either really good or horrible. And I stepped outside, and they told me that my show got canceled.
Ashley Benson sharing with us secrets of her career. Ashley Benson.
Cara Delevingne and Ashley Benson met on the set of the 2018 film Her Smell, and the pair seemed to hit things off almost immediately. It wasn't long before the pair were spotted hanging out offset, and fans quickly began to speculate whether or not there was perhaps something more than a casual friendship blossoming between them. Though Cara has always valued privacy around her relationships, fans instantly became obsessed with the idea of these two becoming an item.
Wow, this is really, like, cool, you know?
After Cara and Ashley were seen at a bowling alley around May of 2018, relationship rumors quickly started to swirl around the couple. Benson had even shared a photo of her and Delevingne on social media, which only left fans asking more questions. Just a few months later, it was clear that things were beginning to heat up between the two after they were spotted kissing at London's Heathrow Airport. For Cara's 26th birthday in August, Ashley was there to celebrate with her among some of her closest friends like Margot Robbie and Sienna Miller.
Yeah, it was good. It was just a lot of, you know, good friends coming together.
dancing, listening to music.
That same month, Benson also took a selfie wearing necklaces with the letters A and C, which many people thought referred to her and Kara. That same month, Kara opened up about why she valued privacy in a relationship. She shared, "I think privacy is the best way in any relationship."
Isn't that the stupidest thing? Every time a celebrity puts out a press release from their agent or their PR firm that says, "We request privacy at this time," then I'll tell you what, don't put out any press releases. Don't put out a PR firm press release, and then there'll be no issues about your privacy. And what am I supposed to do? If I'm sitting in Jersey and you're in Hollywood, how exactly am I supposed to deliver privacy to you? I don't care about you. I'm not going to follow you to Starbucks. Lord knows you're not going to go to Dunkin' Donuts. That's where I go. So I won't be bumping into you at Starbucks and bothering you and coming up to you and saying, "Oh, gee, it's so terrible about what happened." Or, "Listen, are you doing it with Cara Delevingne? Is that what's going on? Is that what you mean about wanting privacy?" I've never understood this. The simple fact is this. If you have a PR firm, which usually costs, you ready? Do you know PR firms cost a minimum of $10,000 a month? Minimum $10,000 a month. If you have a $10,000 a month PR firm, all you want is press. All you want is lots of noise about your relationships. But what's more important to you and me, to the Class A truck drivers who share this magic time with Sterling on Sunday, is which are the worst highways in America? Which are the worst interstates? Traffic, death. To me, it's I-90. How about you? What do you think? 888-688-9258. When you call in at 888-688-WALT, you'll have an opportunity to win a MyPillow 2.0. And Jared Dillian's brand new book called Those Bastards. But you gotta guess these songs that make me want to smoke. Cigarettes.
Bring in the air.
Filled with love.
There's magic everywhere.
There's certain songs that make me want to smoke cigarettes. Oddly, I never smoked cigarettes. I think the worst highway is I-90. And the reason I think that is it looks like post-apocalyptic. The rest stops are closed. The tolls have been taken away. On each side of the road, there are abandoned house trailers. Oh, wait. Over there, there's one trailer deep in the woods, way out of the way, with one sad little light on. They're dead animal carcasses, and this goes on for miles. And it says, you know, next rest stop 42 miles. And then you get there, and it's closed. I have no idea how anybody gets gas on that highway. It is ugly. It is the worst thing about the upper part of America, the most northern parts of America. Hideous. Turns out, many people believe that other highways are worse, but they're wrong. I say I-90 is the worst interstate in America. My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. Worst interstates in America, which ones do you think? Which one do you think? How do you feel? 888-688-WALT. Coming up in seconds, you and I are going to talk to Jared Dillian, author of an astonishingly great new book called Those Bastards. And then we will review the amazing Taylor Swift news, stunning Taylor Swift news, which could change your social life. Did you hear what I said? It could change your social life. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Gunk.
Join me next time when I go back in time again. Not in an exciting way, like in a film. I'm probably just looking at some old pots or something.
All right, good evening. I'm Walter Sterling. This is a live radio show. It's 3 hours. I don't know what this station carries, but it's a 3-hour show from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern Time. Jared Dillian just came out with a brand new book called Those Bastards. But the best thing about Jared is he's like a common sense, normal guy who got rich, was in the Coast Guard, worked his butt off, and got rich. Jared, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Hey, Walter, how you doing?
I'm very excited to have you on because now you're building a new mansion in Myrtle Beach. Is that correct?
It's in Pawleys Island, but close enough. But
I have no idea what the difference is. All I know is that it's a much better place than I live. Now, it's tax time. The 15th is coming up. Tax time, Jared Dillian. What is the biggest mistake that people make on taxes?
I think the biggest mistake that people make on taxes is that they think they're somehow invisible or that they're too small and that the IRS doesn't really care what you do. You know, a lot of what the IRS does when they try to audit people is they use statistical methods. They look for aberrations, numerical aberrations in a tax return. The computer will flag a return if it looks strange. And, you know, they don't just go after rich people. They go after people from all walks of life. So, you know, you can't take garbage deductions. You have to mind your P's and Q's on your taxes.
When you wrote a book, Those Bastards, your new book, when you write a book, usually the author realizes and discovers things you didn't expect. When you started to write the book, you planned to do this, this, and this. And then probably in the thought processes, you got surprised. Did you have any revelations in writing the book that you didn't expect, Jared Dillian?
Well, Those Bastards is a collection of essays. It's 69 essays on life, creativity, and meaning. And, you know, the way the book started was it started out as a class project. Actually, I'm getting my master's degree in fine arts, and I was taking a class in digital communication, and we were supposed to have a blog for the class. So this started out as a blog. But as I got further into it, I'm like, hey, this could actually be a book. So even after the class ended, I kept writing the blog entries. I kept writing the essays, and eventually it turned into a book.
How long did it take you to write the book? Because I'm always tempted to write a book, and then I always hear these horrible stories about how long it takes. How long did it take you, Jared Dillian?
It took me a year. It took me a year. It's 100,000 words. It's about 320 pages. And I did it while I was writing my newsletter and doing all my other stuff.
All of the reviews indicate that this is a fantastic book. These are a great collection of essays that are entertaining, well-written, and I congratulate you on this. Key to success. I've got a kid next year who's going to graduate from college. What would you tell a graduate today from high school or college about planning their financial future?
Well, it's really about managing your financial stress. I mean, that's the thing that I talk about all the time. You know, it's really not about trying to make the most money. It's about managing your financial stress. And the chief activator of financial stress is debt. And a lot of people start off with a lot of debt. When they graduate from college, sometimes they have multiple six figures in debt. And if you have a bunch of student debt, then it's difficult to do a lot of things. It's difficult to get married. It's difficult to buy a house. That debt hinders household formation. It makes it hard to have kids. So you really have to pay attention to where you go to college and how much you're going to pay for it. And you should be able to pay off your student debt in 5 years.
Key to success. Now, what would you tell a 65-year-old about their financial future? What advice would you give a 65-year-old?
Well, the advice I would give a 65-year-old is that, you know, if you've accumulated some assets, then don't be afraid to spend them. You know, I mean, you know, it's funny. My mom, who is pretty middle class, she retired at age 65 with about $400,000. It eventually grew to $800,000. I helped her invest it, and it grew to $800,000. And, you know, she's 77 now, and she has not spent a dime of her retirement savings. She doesn't travel. She doesn't buy clothes. She doesn't She really doesn't do anything. So if you've accumulated some assets in your 60s or 70s, don't be afraid to spend a little money.
Are you annoyed at your mother about this? When you talk to your mother about it, how does she respond to you?
You know, she's, I think like a lot of people, she, you know, she kind of grew up with limited means, and she knows the value of money, and she's very frugal, and that's all to her credit. You know, I don't push her too hard about it, because whatever she doesn't spend, I'm eventually going to end up with. I'm an only child. So.
So you're very conflicted about this.
Yeah, I'm a little conflicted about it, yeah.
Now, you're a club DJ. Being a club DJ is tricky because those are the cool kids. For them to accept you and embrace you is sort of a big deal. When you want to get the crowd going, what songs do you play?
Oh, gosh, Walter, I got to tell you, I probably have about 20,000 tracks in my collection at this point, and I would say about 18,000 of them will get the dance floor going in any given time. I have very good taste in music. I pick out great music, and I'm not typically worried when I'm playing about dropping any clunkers.
Because, you know, most DJs play the electric slide when they really want to get people going.
Yeah, that's because they have no taste. Yeah.
Yeah. I take it the electric slide is not in the Jared Dillian collection.
Yeah, not the Macarena, not the Chicken Dance, not anything like that.
Terrifying. Just terrifying songs that you mentioned just now. I got very nervous when you said it. All right, the name of the book is Those Bastards. It's at Amazon right now. I understand it's ranking pretty well. It's ranking pretty well, Jared.
Yeah, and actually, for a period of time, it was the number one essay collection on Amazon, ahead of Joan Didion, ahead of Ann Patchett, ahead of C.S. Lewis. For about half a day, it was the number one essay book.
Jared Dillian, that's a big deal. The name of the book is Those Bastards. It's at Amazon. He's beating out Joan Didion, who only writes about swimming pools in California. I'm not surprised that you're beating her out. And I just want to show how literate I am, and I appreciate you being on Sterling on Sunday. Jared, all the best. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you very much. Oh, and Jared has a killer website. It's called jaredradio.com. He has put together a terrific brochure for you about how to get the money together, because at Christmas you promised your significant other you would get the money together, and now Jared is going to lay out how to do it, because, you know, it's coming up on June, and your significant other is going to say, well, what are you doing? Remember what we talked about last year? Well, it's time. JaredRadio.com, and the book is Those Bastards, Jared Dillian. Thanks so much. Thank you very much, Jared. 26 past the hour on Sterling on Sunday. Welcome to the big show. I appreciate it very much to have great guests like Jared. All right, let's see. What have I got here? Do I have a call? We have calls. Let me see now. I know I'm supposed to have it all together, but I'm just not that guy. I'm not that guy because technically this show requires an FCC first class license. You don't know what that is? You're lucky. Sue, welcome to Sterling on Sunday at 888-688-WALT. Hello, Sue.
Hello there. Well, you know, I mentioned to you before that I grew up in Parma, so I'm familiar with I-90, but since I've spent 34 years outside of Philadelphia, and I've got a sibling in D.C. and one in New York, I spent a lot more time on I-95, and I think I-95 is the absolute worst, because just sheer volume alone, you take your life in your hands when you get on there.
Even worse, they have the audacity to charge a toll.
Exactly.
And the road's been built for 70 years. It's been paid for. Most of that toll goes to paying off the interest on the bonds. If you were to look at that budget, which I have done, it's public. You can look for the I-95 budget, the Jersey Turnpike, the Parkway. Those budgets are public. You can find it easily. They're easy to find on Google, easy to find. And you will find out that for their $100 million budget, maybe 10% goes to repairing and maintaining the road. My favorite item on the Pennsylvania Turnpike budget, Sue, my favorite item is they spend $25,000 a year on public relations. Does every road need a PR firm? Does every road need a PR firm? What the hell does a PR firm do for a road? Now, Sue, how was your Easter? Any trouble with the relatives?
No, it was just me and my husband and no relatives around. No relatives in sight.
Did you make
so
your
it was
husband?
Wonderful.
Yes, that's right. It was wonderful with no relatives around. Did you make him cook?
No, I cooked.
Quickly, what was the main course?
Well, a ham, of course, because I got a free ham because I got the points from going to Giant. So I got a free ham. So I made a ham. I made some sweet potatoes and some French-style green beans, and that was it.
Sue, happy Easter. You are my hero. Thank you very much for listening to Sterling on Sunday and calling 888-688-WALT. We're talking about the worst roads in America, the most dangerous roads in America, and I want to know what you think. Plus, you'll have an opportunity to win a MyPillow 2.0. 888-688-WALT, Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Liza Schlesinger.
Gentlemen, let's say you get a girl to go home with you, all right? Let's say you get a girl to go back to your apartment by the grace of God.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
How drunk could the bus driver possibly be? For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part one of Florida Stories.
Hi, I'm retired NYPD Detective Vic Ferrari. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of an NYPD chief who walked into a station house and was mistaken for a Chinese delivery guy. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Is this the end of the world as we know it? I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk host, and this week I'm really upset. Details later on Sterling on Sunday.
This is J.J. Wilson. Well, coming up, Larry the Lunatic makes his first, and hopefully last, appearance on Drive Thru Brew. Stay tuned, won't you?
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Did you hear the incredible story about Taylor Swift? Did you hear the Taylor Swift news? This could change your life. Gentlemen, ladies, finally, the opportunity you've been waiting for, entirely possible, coming up in just seconds on Sterling on Sunday. But first, America's favorite radio feature, Florida Stories.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories. Thank you. Thank you for our first Florida story. This is near Palm Coast, Florida, a place called Flagler County. Flagler school bus driver goes through his morning route just fine, but when he comes back for the afternoon route to take the kids home, one of his coworkers notice he's acting a little drunk. So they go and tell the supervisor, and by the time she comes out there and stops him or questions him, he's already taken off, and he took off in the wrong school bus. So he goes over to the middle school, and he ends up picking up his 40 kids. They just say, okay, maybe he's in the wrong bus, whatever. He's like, get in anyway. So they're going down the road, and by the time they radio over to the middle school, he leaves again, and he beats him. And so he's just dropping the kids off as normal, and the sheriff comes up behind him. And I guess they have a CB in the school bus, and so over the radio, they're asking him, hey, you need to pull over, you need to pull over. He's just ignoring them. They call him on a cell phone, and he doesn't answer that. So he's just dropping off the kids, and eventually a sheriff's deputy pulls in front of him and stops so he can't go anywhere. And so when they go to the little folding doors for him to ask him to come out of the bus, when he comes out of the bus, he's so drunk that he falls. This is like a movie. He falls, but he hits his head. And so they can't arrest him. They have to call an ambulance, and the ambulance takes him to the hospital. When he's in the hospital, he wakes up, realizes what's going on. And so he tries to take off, but he's still wasted drunk. So the cops catch him like a block away while he's stumbling down the sidewalk, making one of the worst escape attempts ever. So finally they cuff him. They get him in a car. They take him to the station, and then they give him the breathalyzer. And even then he blows a 0.32, which is four times the legal limit. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
I'm just going to run this one by you. A Florida man leaves a bar, loses his car, steals another car, leaves it to get thrown into a house by a passing train, vandalizes a fruit stand, tries to steal a forklift, flags down a cop to help find his car, And it happened in Port St. Lucie. Hold my beer.
Wait, hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Today's second installment of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Florida Stories is a Spring Rock production, springrockmedia@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter @JamesParkerShow. For Sterling on Sundays, I am James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
All right, 888-688-WALT. You and I are driving through America. We're driving on the interstates. The interstates in some states are miracles. In other states, the interstates are a disaster. I believe the worst interstate imaginable is I-90 in upstate New York, Pennsylvania. It is desolate. There's no service. All of the rest stops are closed. They're all closed. It's like, all right, next rest stop, 44 miles. And then you drive 44 miles and says, oh, just kidding, it's closed. I have no idea, and it's hideous. It's ugly. It looks like post-apocalyptic. I would say that more often, but I really can't say post-apocalyptic. And you're a Class A truck driver. I know you are. And therefore, you have very strong opinions about this. 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. And I see that Neil Paul, Judy Anderson, Judy Paul, Karen O with the Cats, D. Wells, welcome to Sterling on Sunday, and Charlie Green, a great listener in Northern Jersey. And how's that kid doing? I feel like I raised that kid. First, I saw pictures of him from junior high, then high school, now the kid's in college. Congratulations, Charlie. It's a very big deal to get a kid into college, and then, oh my God, to arrange for the financing. I wasn't even going to say that you pay for it. Nobody can pay for it. Who the heck can afford $60,000 a year for a college? Of course not. And so therefore, it's about arranging for it, which is a great challenge. 888-688-WALT. I look forward to talking to you. When you call in, you will have the opportunity to win a MyPillow 2.0. Not the original, but the brand new one, 2.0. And a copy of Jared Dillian's book, Those Bastards. You got to identify these songs. These are the songs that make me want to smoke a cigarette. Now, a Class A trucker just texted me, and he says the worst stretch of highway is I-55 between St. Louis and Chicago. I-55 between St. Louis and Chicago. And I suspect that my friend Mike, a trucker who says the worst stretch of highway is I-55 between St. Louis and Chicago. He's a texter, and our text number is 646-678-1110, 646-678-1110. But he's wrong. The worst stretch of highway in America, the worst interstate, is I-90. First of all, if you have to be on I-90, I feel sorry for you. What did you do wrong in your life that every other exit that you're going to see says, Niagara Falls here, turn off here for Niagara Falls? And many of them are tricks, by the way. If you turn off the first few that you see, you're going to find that you're going to have to drive another 50 miles to get to Niagara Falls. Good luck with that. And then you see abandoned strip malls and abandoned trailers and carcasses of moose that escaped Canada. I-90, the worst highway, the worst interstate in America. 888-688-WALT. But I'm looking here at the weather. And right now it is 69 degrees in Bermuda. And I'm like, why do I live here? Why do you live where you live? When Bermuda is, and this is what people don't understand about Bermuda. Maybe you don't understand this about Bermuda. Bermuda is about 90 minutes off the coast, the East Coast. It's about 90 minutes off the coast of North Carolina. It's not in the Bahamas. It's not in the Caribbean. It's in the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of North Carolina. Let me tell you about Bermuda. You never been to Bermuda? Let me tell you about it. Ready? The sand is really pink. They love American money. Until very recently, you did not need a passport. It's where Mike Bloomberg, the mayor of New York, the last real mayor of New York, he'd go there every weekend. He owned an estate that went from one end of the island to the other. The width of the island. He owned an estate that went from the ocean to the bay. He'd go there every weekend. He was like, why the heck would I stay in New York when this is going on? And it's about 70 degrees all year, except when it's 80. It's incredibly beautiful, but here's the best part. You know when you land like in a Caribbean country, a Caribbean country? I don't know how to say that. Who knows how to say that? You realize at some point that there are many, many, unfortunately, poor people. You drive from the airport and you see poverty everywhere and most Caribbean islands. In Bermuda, there is no poverty. The natives of Bermuda make you feel bad that you don't have more money. 69 degrees, and you can hear New York City radio, you can hear WABC and 1010 Winds in Bermuda right now. I'm like, why don't I live in Bermuda? I'm crazy not to live there. That's the goal. My friend, that's the goal. That's the vision. That's my vision. All right, we're on 3 hours every night, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. every Sunday night, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern, 3 hours, giant radio show. It's called Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of George Santos.
No, I don't consider the things I've said to be lies. They're what my great-grandfather, Winston Churchill.
Can I give a complaint just before I do this story, which is so important for all of us? When the media says Goldsboro Man, what's the first thing in your mind? Bobby Goldsboro, with his amazing hair and his wonderful upbeat song, Honey, about his dead wife. All right, Goldsboro, North Carolina, Walmart. A gent named Keontae LaVon Toomer showed up swinging around a gun, pointing gun at people, and got arrested. About 3:15 in the afternoon on Saturday. Yesterday. Can you imagine? This feller apparently was quite upset, waving the gun around. He has been arrested for 2 counts of assault, 2 counts of child abuse, and of course carrying illegally a concealed weapon. Toomer, though, only placed under $15,000 secured bond. So that means his mama or grandma or his brother Zeke will get him out lickety-split. And if I can think of a guy who should be free, it's Keontae LaVon Toomer. Misunderstood, rebel without a cause. Yeah. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool for Sterling at Night.
All right, did you hear this amazing news about Taylor Swift? Amazing news, because it means that your life could change. Are you ready? This is a very big deal.
Breakup news rocking Taylor Swift fans. The report that she's called it quits with boyfriend Joe Alwyn. This morning, a not-so-Swift split. Taylor Swift and boyfriend Joe Alwyn reportedly calling it quits after 6 years. According to reports, the pair split amicably and that it was not dramatic. Swift, who's currently headlining her sold-out Eras World Tour, started dating Alwyn back in 2016. Alwyn even contributing to some of Swift's newer albums, working together over the pandemic on albums Folklore and Evermore. Folklore winning Album of the Year in 2021.
Joe, who is the first person that I play every single song that I write, and I had the best time writing songs with you in quarantine.
Your boyfriend wrote some of the lyrics to some of the songs under a pseudonym, William Bowery. Why? Who chose that name? Did you choose that or did he?
He did.
Most recently, he contributed to the track Sweet Nothing for her latest album.
All that you ever wanted from me was sweet nothing.
Fans learning of the news overnight sending their well wishes on social media, hoping there's no bad blood or anti-heroes in this story.
I have an opinion. because I'm a professional talk show host. It is my job, Walter Sterling, to have an opinion. My opinion is this. The minute that tour was announced and the minute she started it, I knew she was going to break up with Joe Alwyn. I knew it. And this is my theory. Every time she has a major album or a tour, whoever she's dating, that's when she breaks up. The other interesting fact is that whoever she's dating, she buys a major piece of real estate near them, next to them sometimes. Major piece of real estate. So she buys a London townhouse near Joe Alwyn. She bought a magnificent Tribeca triplex near Carly Kloss, who already had a significant home in Greenwich Village. But she had a special room for her in Taylor Swift's home. And here's my theory. I think Taylor Swift, in my opinion, is bisexual. And I think Taylor needs a beard. I think she needs a hot guy to be a cover. That's my opinion. And because it always ends when she has to go to work. Those relationships all end when she has to go to work. She had to go to work. She had to do a tour. She'd been with this guy for 6 years. But I'll bet you anything that that magnificent townhouse that she bought near him in London, he winds up in. That's his payment for being with her for 6 years. Because they never want to talk about their relationships, you know, for privacy. But they aren't private. We see them go out. We saw her go out with Harry Styles. We see her go out with these guys, but we never see them making out. We never see them hugging or kissing. It never looks like an intimate relationship, except with Carly Kloss. When she went to some event, some concert with Carly Kloss, it looked at the distance in a fuzzy lens that they were kissing. In my opinion, that she's bisexual. And that many of these relationships are there to cover her actual relationships. That's my opinion. Tour comes up and they break up. Oh my gosh. And Joe Alwyn, great looking guy, successful enough actor, I think came from a rich family. Everything you'd want, British, cute little accent. But I think that's the deal. I think these are on some level a business transaction. That's my opinion. 888-688-WALT. So that's the news. Taylor Swift has broken up with Joe Alwyn, and that means that you, ladies and gentlemen, you ladies or gentlemen, have the opportunity to court Taylor Swift. Now, you'd have to be very swift. You'd have to be very sharp. You'd have to be very clever. But there's the opportunity. Because I can't believe how brilliant she is. Brilliant marketer. Brilliant songwriter. The whole thing. She's just the smartest kid on the block. And the coolest kid. And available. But I think she's bisexual. I think she has many relationships. And I think these announced relationships are there to cover them. That's my opinion. That's what I think. What do you think? How do you feel about this? 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. And when you call, you get a chance to win a MyPillow 2.0 and Those Bastards, written by Jared Dillian, if you know these songs. It's great to be with you on a Sunday night live. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
What do you do when you find a crackhead freaking out in the bathroom at a Tex-Mex restaurant? For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part two of Florida Stories.
Hi, I'm retired NYPD Detective Vic Ferrari. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of an NYPD chief who walked into a station house and was mistaken for a Chinese delivery guy. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Is this the end of the world as we know it? I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk host, and this week I'm really upset. Details later on Sterling on Sunday.
This is J.J. Wilson. Well, coming up, Larry the Lunatic makes his first, and hopefully last, appearance on Drive-Thru Brew. Stay tuned, won't you?
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to tell a couple of stories about robberies that took place at Chinese takeout places. Now, all of us have a Chinese restaurant in our neighborhood, and for the most part, these places provide us with delicious food at an affordable price. Unfortunately, these places get robbed all the time because of their reluctance to press charges, and they don't make the greatest of witnesses because of their limited English. So in the late 80s, I was assigned to a burnt-out precinct in the South Bronx. There was literally no places to eat except for a Chinese takeout place. So it was always funny. Whenever we would go there, we didn't know if we were leaving with a pint of wonton soup or a robbery report because the place got hit all the time. So one of the cops in the precinct had suggested to the owner of the place that he invest in some bulletproof glass to protect his workers. So a couple of weeks later, a guy comes in to rob the place, points a gun at this cashier through bulletproof glass. Well, she starts laughing and taunting the guy because she feels safe. The robber lowers the gun beneath the bulletproof glass and shoots her in the hip through some plywood. So he didn't leave with a fortune cookie, but he left a .357 round in her hip. The other robbery story is in the early 90s from the Riverdale section of the Bronx. It was St. Patrick's Day, slow night, and a robbery in progress comes over in this Chinese takeout place. My partner and I get there, and the owner's upset, and he tells us that two males pointed a gun at him and fled on Broadway, and that one of his workers came from behind the kitchen with a cleaver, and he was pursuing them. So we knew we had to catch these guys fast because we didn't want somebody getting shot or hit with a cleaver. So we're canvassing the neighborhood, and a couple of minutes later, another radio car comes over the air and calls us over to this bar on Broadway and says, I think we have what you're looking for. So when we pull up, there's a Chinese guy with a cleaver jumping up and down, pointing at two guys that have been knocked out, laying in the street, saying, that's them, that's them. And next to these two unconscious men is a BB gun. So we couldn't really get much out of the guy with the cleaver. So we go into the bar. No one's talking. No one's saying a word to us. So what little I could get out of the bartender was this Chinese guy is chasing these two guys with a cleaver down Broadway yelling, thief, stop. The patrons saw it, knocked these two guys out, and walked back into the bar to finish their pints. It was a gift-wrapped arrest of two teenage armed robbers on St. Patrick's Day. Well, then we fell into the trap because then after we caught these guys and throw them in cuffs, we had to talk the owner of the Chinese restaurant to press charges. He didn't want to have anything to do with it. He just wanted his money back. And we had to explain to him, listen, if you want your money back, you have to press charges. So these sort of things used to go on all the time in the Bronx. And if you're interested in police stories, please check out my new book, The NYPD's Flying Circus, Cops, Crime, and Chaos.
You have to see Vic Ferrari's website on Amazon, Vic Ferrari on Amazon. That's where you can find all of his books and his great stories. He's a terrific contributor to Sterling on Sunday. And on Easter, I get to pause a second and express my gratitude to people like Vic Ferrari, James Parker, James Copeland, all the people who put together these incredible features. Do you hear anything like this on any other shows? Of course not. Certainly not. Do you know why? Because it involves loyalty and effort. These great talent all came to me and said, hey, we'd like to do something for Sterling on Sunday. We'd like to be part of your show. And I'm like, okay, good for you. My phone number is 888-688-WALT. This is one of those holidays where you discover that your relatives are particularly annoying, especially if you have traditions that clash. The big news is that Taylor Swift has broken up with Joe Alwyn, her boyfriend of 6 years. But please note, it started with the beginning of the tour, because now she has something else to do. And he was needed, in my opinion, as a cover, because I believe Taylor Swift is bisexual. And please note, I believe these are mostly transactions. every significant other she has had, she has bought real estate near them. And I think what we're going to find in a couple months, very quietly, is that the townhouse she owns in London, near Joe Alwyn, he's going to move into, and it's going to be his. And I think that was sort of the deal. Look, stick with me, go out in public with me, cover for me, and you'll get this townhouse. Because the weirdest thing, when she was with Carly Kloss, you know, they were just friends, in New York City, Carly had a townhouse in Greenwich Village. She had a beautiful place to live. She didn't need to hang out with Taylor, but she was always staying at Taylor Swift's Tribeca triplex. She was always staying there. And people said, what are you doing there? Why are you hanging out there? And she quickly said, I have my own room. I have my own room. Well, she doesn't need her own room. A few blocks away, she had her own house. I believe she's bisexual. I think Taylor's bisexual. And I think for some reason she needs it to cover. Because whenever she's asked about her relationships with these guys, she shuts up. She clams up. She it took her a while to even admit that Joe Alwyn wrote small parts of some of her songs with a pseudonym. He even had to have a pseudonym on the songs that he wrote. She's a brilliant performer, a brilliant marketer. Taylor Swift is absolutely brilliant. There's no criticism of Taylor. I think she's brilliant. I wish she would be honest about her personal relationships. I think that would be nice. In my opinion, I think she's bisexual. My feeling. All right, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of iCarly.
Guys, always tell girls to calm down, and it never works. It just gets us all whipped up. You see me all whipped up now? It's because you told me to calm down.
888-688-WALT, 18 past the hour. Sterling on Sunday, live on a Sunday night. Yes, we're live. All those other shows were recorded 4 days ago. Those hosts and disc jockeys are at Ruby Tuesdays right now getting drunk. Jim in Kansas City, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Walter, thanks for taking my call.
Jim, very exciting to speak to you.
Well, regarding interstates, I'm not a very good judge of authority on interstate quality, but when I do judge them, I judge them strictly by the road surface, and the worst stretch of interstate that I know of is Interstate 55 from St. Louis going up to Chicago. It's about every 50 feet, it's a concrete crevice, and your tires just go wop, 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 the whole way up there. The faster you go, the worse it is for your car. So other than that, I'm not real, most of them are pretty good that I know of.
Are you a truck driver?
Yes.
How long have you been a truck driver?
4 years.
I can't begin to tell you how much respect I have for truck drivers because, first of all, it's a hard job. Secondly, you're grossly underpaid. Every time I see what they're offering truck drivers, you know, earn this, I'm like, that's not enough. That's not enough for what you do. And you seem to be constantly harassed by the police. Is that right?
No, I don't know.
Well, you must be a sane truck driver, but I really appreciate you listening because I know the great thing about truck drivers is they usually have tons of AM, FM, satellite radios, and when you choose my show, I am grateful for it. Jim, thank you very much for listening to Sterling on Sunday at 888-688-WALT. That's my phone number. I take phone calls because I think that's the whole purpose of radio, to prove that we're live, to share the magic with Barry in Utah. Welcome, Barry. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
Yeah, hi again. Well, anyway, so now there's a rock group called Classics Nouveau. And they wrote a song called Night People. And they were a group back in the 80s. And I've heard the song, and it talks about how they ride the night bus a lot.
Do you ride the night bus a lot, Barry? Do you ride the night bus a lot? Do you ride the night bus a lot?
No, I do ride the bus a lot, yeah.
And How is the bus treating you?
Well, it treats me pretty good. I'm tall, so when I go on the bus, I don't have to bend over. It's easy to get into the bus.
How much do they charge for a bus where you live, Barry?
Well, it's only $1 a ride.
That's pretty good. How was your Easter, Barry?
Oh, it was pretty good. I was hanging out with my parents and had Easter egg candy.
What's your favorite Easter egg candy, Barry?
Oh, that stuff by Cadbury. It looks like eggs, bunny
yes.
rabbit eggs.
I'm glad you brought that up, Barry. I'm glad you brought up the Cadbury eggs. I have a theory about the Cadbury eggs. Would you like to hear it?
Okay.
I think they get smaller every year. Every year, it seems to me that Cadbury egg is smaller. Just like the Hostess cupcakes, I think they get smaller every year. Is that your impression?
Well, I didn't really notice that, but if you're on a diet, that would be a good thing.
Well, I don't think that's going to solve dietary problems, but here's your assignment, Barry. I want you to study the Cadbury eggs, see if they're getting smaller, and call me again next week. We'll get a 10 share. Thank you very much for calling Sterling on Sunday. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. And Tony, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, Walter. Happy Easter.
Tony, happy Easter. How did you celebrate your Easter?
I went to my niece's and ate too much.
Now, who cooked?
My niece. She's an excellent cook.
I would give anything for a niece or any relative to be an excellent cook, but all my relatives are mostly Irish. They were born mm-hmm. incapable of cooking. It seems to be genetic. I don't think they can do anything to do about it. And coming up in just seconds, we're going to talk about those DNA tests. Tony, what do you have to share with us tonight?
Well, I had something today for Easter that I never had before. It's an Italian tradition. It's called Italian meat pie. Some people call it Easter pie. Have you ever heard of it?
I'm glad you brought it up. I have never heard of it. Please teach us something new.
It is basically several different kinds of meats, pepperoni. I think there's prosciutto in it, and also soppressata, which we call superstud as Italians, and ricotta cheese. It's baked into a pie, and it
yes.
is decadent
yes.
and amazing.
Yes, Tony, I wish I had Italian relatives. I wish I had Jewish relatives, because more often than not, I'm not stereotyping, they know how to cook. Somebody
right.
in the family knows how to cook. High wasps and Irish people, they don't seem to know how to cook. They seem to know how to drink. Oh, my God, do they know how to drink? I'm not being stereotypical. I don't want to be canceled, but it's a fact. It's a freaking fact. And
well, I'm pretty good at the drinking part too. Even I have so many different ethnicities, you can't really pinpoint why. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So you're just drunk.
Well, I used to be, but yeah, I guess I am a drunk because I'm not an alcoholic. Those alcoholics go to meetings.
And you refuse to go to meetings, even though you've been urged to.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Tony, you're my guy. Yes, do you have something else to tell us, because you're important to me?
The good news is you were talking about pain-in-the-butt relatives. Fortunately, today at our Easter celebration, the one pain-in-the-butt relative, well, he's a former relative, my ex-brother-in-law, didn't show up, so that made the celebration that much more splendid.
I find it's always a mistake to actually celebrate holidays with relatives. It was great. For years, I was friends through some circuitous route with the chairman of American Home Products, a man named Bill LaPorte. And at the time, he was the highest paid executive in America. And Bill LaPorte, I said to him, what do you do for Christmas? How do you handle Christmas? How do you handle the holidays? And you know what Bill LaPorte said to me? This was life-changing information. matter-of-fact, clear as a bell. Bill LaPorte, chairman of American Home Products, he looked at me and said, Walter, we go to Bermuda. And they're all welcome to come, but we'll be in Bermuda. And I'm like, the genius, freaking genius. He didn't say, don't come. He didn't say, you're not welcome. He said, we're going to be in Bermuda. You want to come? Well, that's where we'll be. And, of course, they never came. And they had a wonderful vacation. Tony, thank you very much for listening to Sterling on Sunday at 888-688-WALT. Have you taken one of those DNA tests to discover your past, to discover your heritage, your lineage? In my opinion, the purpose of those tests is for the government to gather information about us, to gather DNA information about us, because I'm always spooked when I hear an announcement saying, well, the police were able to track down this criminal because of they took one of those DNA tests. I'm like, whoa. You mean those databases are accessible? It's possible for any cop, any FBI, any CIA to be informed by those DNA tests? Well, let me tell you about my DNA test. I take the DNA test, and it's Easter, so I will share with you the fact that I was raised as a Catholic. My father went to Catholic schools. He went to Seton Hall University, a great Catholic college. My mother, throughout my life, and her mother always said they were Lutherans. And I always found it interesting that my grandmother, my mother's mother, had no interest in religion, never went to a Lutheran church. The only time she went into a church is if she had to go to a wedding. She didn't want to know about it. She didn't talk about it. She didn't go. My mother did not go to church. My father took us to Catholic church, and my mother never said, well, you know, it'd be nice if you went to the Lutheran thing sometimes for me. No, she never said a word. I was raised as a Catholic. I suffered through catechism every Monday for, God, you know, 8,000 years. It was a horrible experience. We get back the DNA test, the, I don't know which one we did, Ancestry.com or 123andMe or ABC, Hooked on Phonics, whatever it was. And it comes back with a shocking result that became more and more and more complicated. And I will share it with you coming up in just seconds. 888-688-WALT, that's my phone number. And it's important to have it because we're live on giant radio stations throughout North America. How that happened, I know exactly how it happened. Because most of the people running those radio stations, when I was a consultant, a media consultant, they would come to me for jobs. I think they're still haunted by the possibility that one day I may go back to being a consultant and capable of hiring them. Let me help you with this. That's never going to happen. I'm a talk show host. And as you know, dear Midnight Misfit, as you know, Karen O, Neil Paul, I'm a really good talk show host. There's no reason for me to give this up, is there, Sean? There's no reason. I look forward to this every Sunday night. As my current wife says, that's when you're happiest. But I think it's really that it's 3 hours she'll have peace. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Kate Littlejohn.
I told you we should have done a sting. It would have taken an hour. We'd control all the variables, get Shales negotiating on the wire.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
What do you do when you find a crackhead freaking out in the bathroom at a Tex-Mex restaurant? For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part two of Florida Stories.
Is this the end of the world as we know it? I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk host, and this week I'm really upset. Details later on Sterling on Sunday.
This is J.J. Wilson. Well, coming up, Larry the Lunatic makes his first, and hopefully last, appearance on Drive Through Brew. Stay tuned, won't you?
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. Welcome to part two of Florida Story. There's a Mexican food restaurant called Tijuana Flats in Jacksonville, Florida. Looks sort of like your standard bar and grill. There's a bunch of TVs everywhere, brightly painted. Customer goes to use the restroom, and when he goes into the men's room, the light's off. Well, that's kind of weird. So he turns the lights on. There's a 40-something-looking Florida man that is squatted in the middle of the bathroom talking to himself. So the guy says, "Are you okay?" And he starts screaming at him. So he's like, "You know what? Screw this." He goes and gets the manager. So the manager, David, he goes into the bathroom to try and talk with the guy. And I guess he's messed up, I don't know, on crack or bath salts or meth. This is Florida. Who knows? So he tells him he's going to have to leave. Well, the crazy Florida man says, "I have a gun and I'll shoot all of you." He's like, "Well, now you really have to leave. And now I have to call the cops." So he goes and he calls the cops. And the guy comes out the bathroom, grabs one of those restaurant high chairs that every restaurant has, those big wooden frames, and throws it at him and bounces it off of his, you know, kind of his back or his hip, sort of. So the general manager, he's a pretty big dude, and the crackhead's not really that big. So the general manager, like, takes the high chair bouncing like it's nothing and starts walking toward the dude. And so he relents and sort of runs off for a second, runs out the front door, changes his mind, comes back in the front door. So the general manager turns around and says, "What's up?" The crackhead runs and takes a big swing at him. You would think if you're on crack, you're like super speedy and quick, but it was kind of a slow punch. And so the general manager, he does a 100% dodge. Like, he ducks under it, comes back up, and the crackhead pushes him, but it doesn't really hurt him. And the crackhead realizes, "I'm not doing so good in my attempt here. I'm just going to leave." So then he goes out and he gets a gun out of the trunk of his car and starts waving it around the parking lot. But the general manager's locked the door. The cops show up. And the crackhead runs off, and they don't catch him. Hold my beer.
Wait, hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
Stay tuned. Today's third installment of Florida Stories is on the way. Florida Stories is a Spring Rock production, springrockmedia@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter @JamesParkerShow. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Sterling Snaps, I'd love to see what you're looking at. Take the overpriced iPhone, the overpriced Android phone, and take a picture of whatever you're looking at now and email it to me to WalterMSterling@gmail. I'll post it on my Instagram, WalterMSterling@gmail. WalterMSterling@gmail. Send me a Sterling Snap, because Dan and Gloria F. of Fairbanks, Alaska, sent me these spectacular photos, incredible photos of Fairbanks, Alaska, and the Northern Lights, and snow removal in Fairbanks, Alaska, which is a whole different level than whatever you experience in Massachusetts. Beautiful photos. Thank you so much, Dan. I really appreciate it. Dan and Gloria. Oh, you're the Gloria. Okay, so my mother's name was Gloria, and my youngest kid's middle name is Gloria. So Gloria is a very special name to us, but thank you very much. Well, here's the DNA story. We've bought one of these DNA kits to find out about our history, about our heritage. I mean, this is what we found out. The DNA test comes back, and it says that I'm 22% Jewish. Now, the interesting thing about this is all my life, people have thought I was Jewish. When they meet me, they at some point they say, "Well, and you know, I know you're Jewish, blah, blah." I'm like, "No, I'm Catholic. I was raised Catholic." But it turns out the DNA test said I'm 22% Jewish, which made me feel good, because when I was a kid and most of my life, my closest friends were always Jewish. It's not a stereotype. It's just a fact. I always preferred going to a Jewish deli, and everything about the Jewish culture I was fascinated by, respected, and wanted to be a part of. I was pretty jealous of Hanukkah. You get presents for 8 nights? Oh, my gosh, that's fantastic. So, but then we're looking at it, and we're like, well, who's the Jew? My mother said that she was Lutheran. Her mother said she was Lutheran. My father said he was Catholic. His father said they were Catholic, Hungarian Catholics. We're like, who is this? This is what we think. My mother's father had a Ukrainian birth certificate. My mother's mother was born in Hamburg, Germany, and came to America in the late 1920s. She loved her father, absolutely adored her father, and her father took great care of my mother's mother. But my mother's mother would never discuss religion. She would never discuss it. She would not go to church, refused to go to church, thought the religion was stupid. Now, this was a woman who came here in the 1920s, 1930s, an odd point of view for somebody who was born and raised at that time. Usually it was like, you go to church. We don't care. You go to church. It was part of the culture. This is what I think happened. I think that my mother's mother was Jewish, that my mother was Jewish. And I say that because my mother's mother was born in Hamburg, Germany. And I think at some point her father realized that this was not the best place for a Jewish person to be. And my grandmother used to say, and I'd asked her about Nazi Germany, and she said, my father fought the Nazis, and that was all I could get out of her. But I think that's what it was. And every Saturday night, I told a friend this, I said, every Saturday night, my mother would send my father out for bagels, cream cheese, pickled herring in cream, and smoked whitefish. That's what she'd send him out for every Saturday night. My friends look at me, my Jewish friends look at me and go, well, she was Jewish. What the hell do you think? That she was Jewish. And so it came from my mom, came from my mother's side. And that means I take great pride in the fact that, according to that legend, that would make me Jewish. And it wouldn't be the best news for my Monsignor. It would certainly confuse the situation. But I think that's what it was. But here's the best part of my theory, because in talking to cousins and relatives, I don't think my mother knew. My grandmother, her mother always talked about being Lutheran. Religion was not a topic of conversation. My mother's mother worked. She was a registered nurse. These were worldly folk. They didn't sit around the table and chat. And I don't think my mother knew. I don't think my mother ever thought about it. To be honest with you, I don't think she ever thought about it. But she wouldn't go to church. She wouldn't go to Catholic church. She wouldn't go to Lutheran church. That's what the DNA test showed me, that I'm 22% Jewish. Happy Easter. Now, I also think those DNA tests are evil. I wish I hadn't done it. It seems to be easily accessed to government agencies tracking you. I don't like to be tracked. I saw the X-Files. The end is never good. Doesn't seem to be a good idea. My phone number is 888-688-WALT. Always enjoy talking to you live. 888-688-WALT. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by the words of Jimmy Failla.
The truth is, it takes balls for a man to get ahead in 2023. And if we're being honest, it takes balls for a woman, too.
888-688-WALT. I'm live on a Sunday night. Welcome. Happy Easter. Logan, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Oh, wow. How are you doing, sir?
Well, I'm very excited now that you're here. Everything's better now that you're here.
Yes, sir, it is.
Thank you.
I was just wanting to know, my question was, how was your Easter Sunday? Nobody seemed to ask that yet.
Well, that's a very good question, and I thank you very much for your call. My Easter Sunday was fraught with peril because, you see, I suffer from the fact that my family that I was raised in and my wife's family celebrated Easter in a very different way. My family celebrated Easter as though it was the second Christmas. We got giant toys, lots to do, lots of things to play with. It was a second Christmas. Her family celebrated it by watching the parents get drunk. And they hid a basket. They hid baskets, and then the kids had to look for hidden baskets, and then later had to look for hidden eggs, which were oddly not well hidden. It was a whole different thing, but I'll never forget, my mother-in-law looked shocked the first time I said to her, well, you know, we got big gifts. And she was like horrified that we had big gifts for Easter. She didn't think that that was all right at all. So thank you for the call, Logan. And you're on Sterling on Sunday at 888-688-WALT. Hi. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
It's Claudine.
Yes, Claudine, you're on the air.
From Philadelphia. I was wondering, how are your taste buds doing? You hadn't been tasting anything because you had COVID or something?
Claudine, that's a great question. I'll also answer the questions about my daughter. So thank you very much. I have a condition known as parosmia, P PAROSMIA. It is the result of having COVID, parosmia. I could never pronounce it, parosmia. And in my, and everybody's different. Everybody who has parosmia has it differently. Some people, everything they taste tastes like garbage. Other people, some things they taste taste like garbage. I wish that I had no taste buds. I wish I couldn't taste. Instead, many of the things that I want to eat taste like garbage. That's not a figure of speech. They taste like the very worst, most rotten form of that particular food. It extracts one or two horrible tastes in a given food, and that's all you taste. As a result, I eat the following. This is what I can eat. I can eat an orange, and I eat about 10 oranges a day. I can eat a hard-boiled egg with a lot of salt, but I can't eat an omelet or a scrambled egg. It seems that butter is a big problem. Cannot eat bread. No bread. No rolls. So it's weird. I can eat a hot dog and baked beans. Go figure that. Hot dog and baked beans, but no bun. I can eat it with mustard, but no ketchup. I'm from Jersey. We eat hot dogs with ketchup. Sorry, it's the truth. And I cannot, so no bread, no simple carbohydrates, no pancakes, no cake, no desserts, nothing, nothing with sugar. The very worst thing for me to eat is chocolate. If I eat a chocolate egg that's filled with peanut butter, the peanut butter tastes like turpentine. This has gone on since Thanksgiving. As a result, I have lost 32 pounds. My insulin intake is cut in half for my diabetes. My insulin's, I wake up every morning with hypoglycemia, even though I've cut my insulin in half. Therefore, there are people who have it much worse. There are people who cannot eat chicken. I can eat chicken, but not the skin and not the fat. No fat, no skin, plain chicken. I can eat hamburgers, but not with ketchup, not with buns, and not with any topping. No toppings. Plain meat, orange, hard-boiled egg. That's about it.